show started yet? All right. Am I supposed to be able to hear out of these cans? Nobody knows. This is live radio, live Culineers. It's a funny irony that this is not only our biggest show ever, what in Hollywood parlance is called a get with our guest, who I'll introduce in a moment, but also our biggest Culineers technical snafu. Lots of problems at the station tonight, but we're going to get through it. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing from the fans that are texting in, seems like they can somewhat hear us. Keep texting if you can. Just having a little trouble with the feedback. Anyway, this is the Culineers, and we just had a delicious dinner. And this is also the first time that all the Culineers have been in the K-Chung studio at one time.
Is that my signal?
No.
I'm back, baby.
We've got Veal Parmstrong and Marco Pollo, obviously, the stalwarts. Beef Erickson is allowed back after a brief vacation for bad behavior. And then for the first time, not out in the field, but here in the studio.
I'm here. I'm home with you.
Pranz DeLeon.
Yeah, I missed you guys. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me in the
home. All right, good. It'd probably be a little closer, but the fans are saying the tweets are coming in that we can be heard, so we're all good. But really, tonight, and the reason the K-Chung Studio is a little crowded is because we've got a very, very VIP special guest.
Very special.
Jonathan, you're too good for the show. In the room is the Jonathan Ames, and we're so excited to have you. Jonathan and I have worked together. Oh, I've already screwed up this intro.
Thanks for coming, man.
And he's heard about the Culineers for years, and it was so great that he could schedule us in and come out tonight. How you doing tonight?
Okay, but you didn't say my Culineer name.
Well, I'm not going to yet. I'm going to give you... We don't really do intros for the Culineers. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who Jonathan Ames is, probably just turn off the radio and go to a library right now. But if I was going to do an intro, I'd probably say something along the lines of that you were a writer of fiction, nonfiction, journalism, and TV. 9 books? Mm-hmm. I was having trouble counting on Wikipedia. 9, mm-hmm. but maybe 10? It seemed like it was kind of in between. There was one I wasn't sure if I should count or not yet. So let's say 9.
Yeah, 9 is good.
Okay, great.
It's a spare, not a stripe.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Veal Parmstrong is creeping up on me because I didn't realize we were sharing a mic.
A 50-50 situation is the intention.
Make more like 50.
Didn't realize you were sharing a mic.
50-40. So, Jonathan, you know, one of the issues with the Culineers is we all have a Culineers pun nickname. What's your Culineers pun nickname?
Great question.
One thing that people are missing, because this is a radio show, is there's a lot of chemistry between these four Culineers. They're like four brothers who are sort of picking on each other.
So sweet.
You know.
Sorry,
but no. But
I have to, like, basically kiss you.
Yeah, no, but we also have to crowd into the microphone area, and they were talking that Lane, what is your name? Are you Veal Armstrong?
Beef Erickson.
Anyway, they were complaining that Beef Erickson leaned into the mic too much in a previous show, disturbing a guest. Duncan just banged his head against the mic. As I'm saying, there's a lot of visual fun here. Anyway, my adventurer name is Jonathan Livingston Seafood.
Ooh.
I love it.
Yeah, I see food and I eat it. Sorry, I had to say it.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. And every time I lean into my mic, I can hear Veal Parmstrong's cans blasting in my ear and hearing the feedback. So it's very confusing.
What does that mean? What are cans?
1 second delay, so that helps you.
All right, now let's back up a little bit.
Jonathan, I'm sorry I smell a bit like alcohol.
I'm not able to smell you, which
Jonathan,
is fine.
Don't be afraid to put an elbow right into Lane's ribs if you need to.
Jonathan, one thing you need to know about the Culineers is we have very different views of what the show should be. For me,
so we're getting into it now. All right.
For me, I feel like it's where we come here and we use food as a lens to talk about politics and culture and our lives. And for Lane, it's a place to black out. So, Jonathan Livingston Seafood, tonight we went out to dinner. What did you think of tonight's dinner and where do we go? Actually, I'll say where we went just in case you don't remember.
Great
I think it was called Track Here in West Hollywood.
No, thank you.
We've been doing a lot of Koreatown, a lot of San Gabriel Valley. Tonight we decided to step out of our comfort zone and go out for some Russian food. Jonathan's maybe not an expert, but a little more well-versed in Russian cuisine than we are. What did you think of tonight's dinner?
I like Russian food because, I mean, it's an overused phrase, but I do find it comforting. It's warm, it's soft, it's salty, and I don't know, that sounds bad, warm, salt, and salty.
And it was creamy, too.
And there was some cream. And then there's also some dill, though, and then Beef Erickson said, what's the dill? I'm sorry, I stole your bad pun.
Are you setting me up to do the pun again?
All right, you can do it again.
No, I don't want to.
But we had herring, so it wasn't just all bad, soft food that has no nutritious value. There was herring, which is a superfood. I was once in Alaska and saw this silver stream of fish going by a lit boat that I was standing on. I'm telling this in a backward way. And anyway, there were whales fishing in the distance in the darkness. And I said to this scientist next to me on the boat, I said, what are those fish streaming by the light? And he said, the herring. And he said, that's what the whales are feasting on. They were doing the bubble fishing about probably 2 football field lengths away. Mm. And that's where the whales all go down like colonies. And they push up the food, you know, some kind of suction thing with their mouths, and they rise up like the worm in David Lynch's Dune, you know. And so they rise up with their mouths open, and the herring comes in. And so we were like those whales, like the worms in Dune, eating herring tonight, bubble fishing. We also had caviar. But it was a really good Russian place, very tasty, probably not terribly unhealthy. You know, we had some cabbage also, and cabbage is good, and that's it. I enjoyed the meal. I let other people talk.
You skipped the best thing that we had.
What's that?
The drinks?
Which was the beverage.
Well, there was vodka infused with horseradish, which was really quite, really, really good. I'm a horseradish fan, and it was really, it was a very refreshing drink, bolstering, made you feel good about being alive for about at least 18 seconds afterwards, you know, and then sort of sat in the glow of that. And then, you know, and then when you needed to feel that way again, you could sip a little more.
It was like having a Bloody Mary without all the thick sauce.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, it was a distilled Bloody Mary. I hadn't thought of that.
Deconstructed.
Yeah.
It was a really nice dinner. Duncan, you're doing a real good job keeping us on task here because, you know, sometimes in the radio show, we don't even get to talk to about the dinner, you know? We, like, talk about all kinds of other, you know, horseradish.
We get right into Lane's life. We don't have time to talk about the dinner, but
yeah,
I think we're also
Lane's
skipping over.
I heard Lane's wife is not a fan of the show.
Please, come on. She's a big fan. Everyone loves the show,
Susan,
especially my wife.
Give us a call if you're out there.
Oh, yeah. Can anyone call in? What number is there? Call in, and we'll play like a sad song for you.
My cell phone is 213-944-0804.
That they should call in on?
That's
so you gotta do it slower. No one will get that.
Yeah, anytime.
Just do it slower.
Beef Erickson, say your phone again.
That's 213. Why am I doing this?
Well, we need a phone. You
all
right,
state your
two
number.
213-944-0804.
You did the last part too fast. I didn't even get it.
Say it very slowly.
Just do the whole one.
That's their last chance. I can't say it any slower. It's like
213-944-0804.
Say it all sexy at the end.
213-944-0804.
This is my favorite.
213-944-0804.
Now,
if anyone's lonely out there feeling sad, like tonight's the last night of their life, call and you could have a last meal and a sad song.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are some shy people out there because I've been getting a lot of texts. So
wow,
don't
who's
think the
texting
fact,
you?
I think, well, I don't want to say exactly.
Hey, put your phone on ringer so if someone calls me, no. Do you have good reception?
There's no reception in here.
Oh, shit. Someone's going to call and we're not going to be able to answer. Because I would love to be like a Miss Lonely Hearts of the Radio. Yeah, I would love to have a midnight show where people could call in and talk about their troubles and we could talk about it. I would love that. Can you just sort of do that on your own? Like, is it easy to get a radio station, like just a little What about doing it on shortwave?
You could have a show here on Cape Shung.
I could do it with truckers.
Shane, I love that you're here and your comments are great. You're not going to be heard if you don't get into the microphone, though. You got to get right up in here, or you're not here.
I obviously have probably the best handle on the Russian food that we ate earlier, and I'd love to dive in and talk a little bit about that.
Please.
Oh, we got that? We already did that? All right. Okay.
It was your idea of the place. What's your handle on it?
Well, let's back up a second. Actually, it was my idea, but then we heard later that Franz De Leon had been there.
Well, I feel like...
I did a lot of research.
Prawns?
The one thing that we're kind of... No, like prawns, De Leon. Not like prawns.
Isn't prawns like an euphemism?
An euphemism?
An euphemism?
An euphemism when you screw up is a goofemism.
The ratings for the show are going through the roof right now. I'm looking at the needles, and that's what those mean. But
yeah,
I think
they're hitting Trump's disapproval ratings.
I think everybody's forgetting the snacks that I provided at my house before we even had the meal, which
I
thought were pretty good.
Say snacks.
I always like to say snacks on air.
Snacks.
But I went to two Russian-Armenian markets to pick out those, you know, those beef cabbage leaf snacks, and I thought we had a nice eggplant dip and some stolies. So, I mean, I'm not looking for a pat on the back, but I guess I am.
I thought it was an interesting choice because we were going to go out and eat that exact same food, and so we just had it twice.
Yeah, and no, but I thought it was nice. It was a little bit of a warm up, and it was like on the prow of a ship because Duncan has this place called the Crow's Nest, and this is like an expedition, and they invited me to come sailing with them, like the Culineers, like. And Culineers is from culinary and buccaneer. Is that the combination?
Yes. Thank you, Jonathan, for getting the whole theme of my house.
Pioneer.
Oh, pioneer?
You don't even know, Jonathan. Jonathan's right.
I thought it was buccaneer and culinary.
Buccaneer because it's culinary.
It's a pioneer explorer's new frontier.
Well, so you guys had an interesting you differ on the etymology of your own name. Because I've been thinking about it. Because when you say, oh, we're the Culineers, a lot of people on the street don't get it.
It's the only thing we ever fight about.
Pioneer and buccaneer and culinary. It's interesting.
This is the time of the show where I put us back on track.
Thank
now,
God.
Jonathan, you were recently on a trip. You were in Cannes. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about what you were there for and also what you were reading.
Where was he?
Oh, I thought you said what you're reading.
Is it can or con? I always make a mistake.
Some people say can. Some people say con.
Like a can of beans.
Don't you have a film show you do on the same station?
Duncan do cinema? Yes, I do.
And you call it con on that?
For like 20 minutes on that show.
Did you just hair plug your show?
I did. It's the fourth Sunday of every month as opposed to this, which is the first Sunday. But I've been putting so much into the show, I haven't had time to do Duncan do cinema. Anyway.
Let's get back to our guests. Jonathan, though, congratulations on your film getting into Cannes, man. I was really excited when I saw that. That's amazing. How'd that feel?
Oh, I didn't know that you'd seen it.
Jonathan
but
also
you know, when
can't
you
wait
try
to talk about how he was at Cannes. So that's.
Did I mention I was at Cannes?
But let's talk about you at Cannes.
All right. Can I just say, though, that let's say you're trying to boost your hair growing cream, you would call that a hair plug. I said that earlier when I said you were hair plugging your Duncan Does Cinema show. Yeah, it's another pun. Because we heard there was a World's Greatest Pun Contest.
Yeah, is that what the show is slowly morphing into, the World's Greatest Pun Show?
Well, earlier I did. It could be morphing or it could be by mistake, like when I said goofemism, but I meant euphemism. No, I was trying to make a pun out of that. Anyway, I think I ate a lot of good food in Cannes. I went to a seafood restaurant last night, one night that I was there, and it was with couscous and all sorts of seafood in there. It was just delicious. I just love the food in France. I mean, the thing is, what we don't realize in America quite fully is just how denatured and GMO and screwed up and bleached and blended and twisted into weird braids our food is so that it has very little flavor. You don't get a sense of the earth. Maybe you get some organic vegetables. But anyway, everything in Europe just tastes alive or just tastes better. So as an American, you go over there and you're like, woo, and you become a culinaire immediately just by virtue. So I ate my way across France having a really good time. And then I went to England and had good food in England, too. The English, I think the thing about them having bad food, that ended a while ago. They got over it, and they have really good food.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you have any kidney while you were there?
I didn't have any kidney, no.
What else did you have there? It's weird, like eggy soup or something? Not weird, sorry. That's, you know, boundary, culturally, you know what I'm trying to say.
You mean egg drop soup?
No.
I didn't have it. But I had lunch in a pub that had been a pub since the 1300s. That means that place has, like, had the right feng shui for offering food and drink for, like, 900 years. Wait, 1300 to 2017. That's, like, 800 years, roughly. And it was with a beautiful ancient thatched roof. And, of course, the ceilings were low. People used to be shorter then. And so that was an excellent experience I had in England, out in the countryside, about 70 miles north of London, in a part of the country called the Cotswolds, and somewhat near Oxford, also, and might have been called Oxfordshire. I don't know.
You know, there's some cool pubs in New Orleans as well that have been around since like the 1400s,
1500s.
Oh, really? Yeah, last time I was down there, there was some, I got drunk in some place that was like, you know, generations and generations old.
In New Orleans?
Yeah.
1400.
Yeah, because it's like Dutch traders and stuff. And like, yeah. You know, it's one of the, you know, before even the country was around, I think. Eh, don't check me on that.
There's also a McDonald's there that's been around for at least 40
since
years.
Isn't
the original McDonald's somewhere in L.A. and the burgers there are really good because the cows are...
Let's talk about best burgers in L.A., like fast food drive-thru burgers. Go, around the room. Franklin.
I like the Myrtle Burger. You rested.
I was going to say the Myrtle Burger. I like the burger at the Grand Central Market, Bel Campo. That is a delicious burger, very fresh. Sometimes a burger leaves me feeling a little heavy. Not Bel Campo.
Shane, go.
I like a good steakhouse burger. I like a good steakhouse burger. Taylor's. Have you ever been to Taylor's and gotten the burger there?
No, where's that?
It's in Koreatown. You have to go. It's
He's been there. I've been there with him.
I've been there?
Yeah, we went to steakhouse in Koreatown. We went a long time ago.
Fun fact about Keith Erickson is he doesn't know where he's been before.
Jonathan, what do you think? Fast food burger?
I have to say, in all my years in L.A., I've not had a fast food burger. I was a vegan about 30 years ago, and somehow I'll face the corner for a minute.
That's all right. We have been talking about maybe doing a vegan episode. Moby, are you listening?
Whoa, that's quite a commitment.
I got to say.
Wow, that's a real change of life. You know, they do say that one of the factors around the world where people live the longest, you know, these blue zones, and there's a number of factors. Some of it is community, but a big factor is diet and a plant-based diet, not an animal heart-based diet, and one of the factors for the people that live longest is not to eat animal products. I'm just saying, just putting that out there. Most of us are in denial about it, just as we're in denial about so much while the whole planet is boiling like a hot pimple. And, well, anyway, let's talk about the dumplings we had tonight.
No, I mean, it's interesting. This is something I talk about with, like, other parents, too, which is like, you know, the previous generations are so rightly vilified for their, like, you know, past racism and homophobia and stuff like that. And what are we going to be vilified by our children and our grandchildren? And I really think it's going to be the way we treat animals and, like, eating meat and stuff like that. And so I know that it's crazy that I'm part of this food group that goes around bragging about how we love to eat, like, live octopus and stuff. I feel like my children are going to be terrified by this.
Well, they'll be growing all the meat in the lab then, anyway. So they'll still be eating meat, they just won't be killing animals.
Impossible burgers and that sort of thing.
Well, anyways, everything in moderation. You guys aren't running around eating live octopus all the time. You do it once a month, and not even then, because you don't do it every episode.
Right.
And it's more about your friendship and getting together and celebrating life, which food does. And one of the beauties of eating food together is that you digest at the same time. So you all get into the same chemical state, and which is why it's nice for families to eat food, because you all start getting the same serotonin thing going on, and it fosters communication and dialogue, which is what we need while the planet burbles like a acne vulgaris are ready to spew pus everywhere because of the maltreatment of animals and everything else that's going on. Sorry. Sorry, Duncan. I was channeling Lane there for a moment.
I just did a picture of us all digesting at the same time and having to run to the Kaechung bathroom all in like 10 minutes.
We're all burping the same thing.
Group
right now.
Diarrhea.
Lane, what's the movie that's on Netflix right now that's going to make me a vegetarian?
Okja. And the whole thing is that, like, Netflix financed this movie, and people said that, like, because there are these scenes towards the end in a slaughterhouse that are quite extreme.
Spoilers.
Sorry, spoilers. But, and the whole rumor is that, like, no studio would finance this film with the script as it was made, even though, you know, Bong Joon-ho, like, this guy's amazing. It's got, like, Tilda Swinton and Jake Gyllenhaal. I feel like I've got, like, a fucking stake in the movie. Like, I'm promoting it for a commercial.
Wait,
anyway.
It's about a pig, though.
Well, it's like this weird
super pig.
You said
you had a stake in the movie?
Welcome back to Puns Radio. So, no, Okja's great.
Bring
watch it
bacon.
On TV. I love it.
What was my point?
Sorry. Sorry.
Jonathan Livingston Seafood. You are the consummate Brooklynite by way of New Jersey, I know. But you've been in L.A. now 3 years.
Yeah.
I think you like it.
I do.
I hope you like it.
I like it.
But when you look back on the types of food you miss from Brooklyn or New York, what are you thinking of, if you're missing anything?
Well, I miss many things about New York, but you're asking me food-wise what I miss. Well, I did flash to, it would be an easy choice, but Peter Luger's Steakhouse. Again, I know we shouldn't eat meat, and I don't do it very often. That's why I've not had a fast food burger my whole 3 years here. But I don't know. Also, burgers, I don't feel well after I eat them generally. But I do like steak once in a while. Part of me, you know, craves it every now and then, or at least that's what I tell myself. But anyway, Peter Luger has really great steak, and so I miss that because I haven't found, like, a good steak in L.A. But because I'm not seeking out red meat actively, I haven't found a good steakhouse. So, anyway, I keep going into dark territory. I'm sorry, Duncan.
Please, please. Dark territory is what the show is all about.
What about?
Musso and Frank, you should check it out.
Well, I've not enjoyed.
Musso and Frank, that's practically Jonathan and I's office.
Oh. And you don't like the steak there?
I got, like, a family card. I was going there. We had several exuberant dinners there. Duncan and myself and others, and no, look, the whole setting is great there. The long bar, the colors, the lighting, the wait staff. You really feel like you're in good hands there. They know how to bring you food in a way that makes you, I don't know, you enjoy their professionalism. But I don't. Maybe I shouldn't say this on the air.
I think you should
say anything.
They're our sponsor.
This is actually Culinaire Air. That's when you're on the Culinaire Radio, it's called Culinaire. So I'll say it. But hey, Musso and Frank, you guys are amazing. It's probably just the times I went there. I don't know. I haven't ordered the right steak. I apologize. It's not
your fault.
No, it's me. No. It's a great restaurant. I take it back. I've liked the steak there.
No, you're not wrong.
There's no censorship here. We don't
want to jump in on here.
Well, I know, but
the real truth.
Franklin brought it up, and Franklin's name backward is Nilknarf.
That's
true. Duncan is Knacknew.
I figured that out.
Lane is Enal, which is very close to Anal.
All right, so
Shane is Enos. Shane, don't go. Have you got that a lot in your life? That's cool. Hey, man, that's a good thing to have said to you, because it's the best line in cinema.
Yeah.
One of the best lines. It's up, there.
What is the best?
Shane.
Oh,
Shane, don't go. That's what he says, right? Shane. So plaintive.
All
across the plains.
Lane's new culinary's name is Anal.
Hey, but can anyone text? Can anyone hear Shane? Because he's not been going in at the mic at all.
Going at all. Is this easier? Is this better?
I am told by our former station manager that everything sounds really good.
Including Enos, which is Shane back.
Enos, come back. Enos.
Hey, Enos. Enos and Anal. They're very close. Sorry. Anal.
No one asked me what my favorite hamburger was. Can I just say?
You
went around the whole. No! Fuck you guys.
Hamburger backwards
is
free grub. Ooh, it's made of grub worms.
Well, I think we have a little problem here. Jonathan hasn't had a great steak in L.A., and I'm trying to think about where to recommend him.
Well,
Taylor's? Is Taylor's a
great
steak?
Didn't I say to Franklin, maybe we should go to a steakhouse or Russian, I said, and you guys went Russian, which is very nice.
Pacific dining car.
I mean, I wasn't there when you ran into Franklin and whatever kind of conversation you guys had.
Well, I felt bad, Franklin, because I didn't know that Franklin was a member of the Colonnaires.
Well,
and you said, "Oh, I heard you're joining."
He barely is.
What?
I mean, the founding member was actually
founding member. Doug, you just said he barely is. What kind of swipe was that? What kind of bumble swipe was that?
when you invent a thing,
that's more like a toilet wipe.
Seen as like, you know, you're more seen as like a forefather. But no, I'm a highly active current member.
I like to say that I'm kind of the John, Paul, and George of the Colonnaires, and everyone else is like.
Wait, you're the whole. You're the whole band?
Collectively, these three are like the Ringo.
Oh, my God.
Is that unfair?
Duncan, knack nude.
Knack
nude. Let's back up.
You definitely have the most invested in it. I will say that you're hanging more personal happiness on the Colonnaires than anyone else in this room is.
I wanted to get deep tonight. We got so deep. I love it. I wanted to have this have it get intense tonight.
The steak knives are out.
That bear our souls on this radio station. Come on!
Now, let's back up just even further. I'm just briefly going to say, for people that listened to the last episode, or for just the show in general, everyone knows that I have a little bit of there's a little animosity between me and the bartender at Hop Louie's, where I go to before we come and do the show. And the last show, he was particularly grumpy, and then a couple days later, I seem to have lost my license. And I thought, maybe I lost it at Hop Louie's, but why would I give them my license? And I called a few times. Nobody ever picked up the phone.
What time did you call? Because that was crucial.
I called. They open at 4:30. I called probably not that late, but definitely like between 4:30 and 8.
Before 4:30 and 8. A couple times you called after 6.
I could have just come down there. But I was like, why would I have left it there? Anyway, went down to the DMV to get a new license and ended up losing my whole wallet. Jonathan and I went there to have a drink tonight before the show, Wet Our Whistles, and I see the bartender looking in a drawer with my license.
Let's, all right.
Can I give my Rashomon version of all that?
Yes, please.
Okay, so first of all, Duncan obviously was drinking too much one night, left his license somewhere. He goes in the motor vehicle, waits online, gets flustered after waiting for 45 minutes.
Dead on.
After he had waited too long, and if he had just stuck it out a little longer, he would have made it. But he was so ambivalent about leaving that he didn't leave until he wasted a lot of time. And then somehow, in his confusion, to further punish himself, he leaves his wallet at the motor vehicle. Now he has to go back. His wallet's been stolen. So then he figures, well, I'm here. I'll try to get a license. But then they wouldn't give him a license because he didn't have any means to pay for it because he lost his wallet. So he killed a whole day. Then a few weeks later, he's back at Hop Louie. This guy who looks real tough, we're the only people that went in. There was an ancient guy by the entrance of the bar who was like, you know, on his last legs, but interesting looking. Anyway, we go in. This tough bartender eyes Duncan and me, and then he turns from us like he's sort of ignoring us, and he's opening his register, and he turns and goes, here's your license. And I'd heard all about Duncan losing his license and all this rigmarole. Anyway, this guy had driven to Duncan Street. He felt terrible about it. All this, he's going on and on. I go, okay. But then I knew it was getting close to the radio time, so I'm like, can we get some beer? And he goes, yeah, so we got 2 Heinekens. I always enjoy Heineken. It's a really, you know, it works most of the time.
Refreshing.
And so we get the beer. They're $5 each and $10 total. And Duncan leaves a $2 tip. And I was just like, no. And I tried to signal, leave a little bit more. The guy drove all the way to your house to try to drop off a license, but he got confused by where Duncan lived. He saw the crow's nest. It didn't make sense to him. He described the whole thing.
Is
I went,
it a ship? Is it a house?
Yeah. And he wasn't unsure what your building was, and he left. And he tried to get someone else maybe to drop it off there. Then he was going to mail it. And then Duncan only left him $2.
I felt like he was so rude last time.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know if I bought his story. He said his friend lived near.
Maybe he wasn't rude last time. Maybe something was going on in his life, and it wasn't rude to you. He's in pain of some kind.
I'm getting a little hung up on the he drove to your house and got confused.
But he described the dead end. He described the dead end, and he wasn't sure the number.
He said there was a hill, but But then his friend also lives near me. So I'm like, didn't he just drive to his friend's house?
Yeah.
And then also, like, you took my ID. You didn't give it back. It wasn't like I ran out of the bar. I left at a leisurely pace when there were, like, three people there. How about a free beer?
And one time,
and one time
we came home and Stex was eating from a McDonald's wrapper. And where did that come from? It's all about snacks. Everyone wants to meet Duncan's dog.
Did you bring your license this time? Or did you leave it there again?
Do I still have my license, you mean, or did I lose it again?
Yes.
Just gave it to him 30 seconds ago.
He still doesn't have a license. He's walking around with his passport. He's ready to be kicked out of the country.
This is, by the way, a man who accused me over text of stealing all his forks because he has no forks in his drawer.
We've been through that story, and let's not name names, Beef Erickson, because we've done
that
before.
I wish I had a picture of this.
All right, let's get back.
I tell you, the looks here. The steak knives are out because the tines of forks that come from their eyes to each other.
I'm so glad you're here because so many times I don't feel safe with these guys when I'm on my own.
Yeah.
And just having you here just makes me feel a lot better. So
yeah,
thank you.
They're ready to throttle you.
Jonathan, so many times when Lane has to share a mic with the guest is afraid they're going to get kissed. And
what are you talking about?
No, but we're doing what I said before. We go in and out.
I think lips are going to touch before the end of this broadcast.
Yeah.
That's what I'm counting on.
Now, let's back up. The usual question we start the show off with is, how was your month in food? And I'll just start off and say that I had a terrible sandwich 2 days ago where I'm not going to name the place because I have a lot of smoothies there, but just
name the place.
It's called Drinks House, but the people there are very nice. It's a smoothie place, but they also serve
food. That's not a real name.
And just in a nutshell, it's
Drinks House.
It's in Hi-Fi. They had, I saw a sign for a turkey sandwich with some kind of cheese. I said, can I get it without that kind of cheese? Sure. And then he started making it. And then he said, but you want everything else on it? I'm like, sure, whatever you have. He gives me a sandwich with a croissant, avocado, pineapple, a lettuce, and cheese. There's no turkey. And who has pineapple? But I'd already left the place by then.
Wait. After you paid for it? Or you just?
Yes, I paid for it.
But you didn't eat it? You just left it there?
No, I brought it home, and then I gave a little to snacks, and then I just threw it away. It was really good.
But I thought you told them you didn't want the cheese, but you wanted the turkey.
Yes, that's what I thought, too, and something was lost in the translation.
I thought the beginning of this story was the best thing I had this month.
No, it was more like your month in food.
Okay.
How was your month in food, Beef?
Oh, thanks for asking, buddy. I actually had a wonderful doubleheader when I went to lunch, like, sadly by myself on Thursday, and I was like, I'm going to go to Trois Familias because I've never been there before, and had this amazing like crepe with chorizo in it. It was fucking amazing. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to swear, but it was to die for. I wasn't that full though. On the way home, I saw the Gorilla Tacos truck, and so I had there this swordfish tostada. I think was the best mouthful I've had all month. It was unbelievable. Then they also had this soft shell shrimp taco with the head on.
That Gorilla Taco,
really
I love that taco.
Soft shell shrimp. That's not anything.
What do you mean it's not anything?
What is that?
It's got the head on and like the shell and everything. You crunch it all up, eat everything.
Why is it soft shell?
You meant the soft shell crab at Gorilla Taco.
No, it's a shrimp. It's soft shell shrimp.
A soft shell crab is because it sheds its shell.
I know.
And then it has a softer one.
They did the same
hardening
thing to
shrimp
a shrimp.
No.
They did it. I'm telling you, they did it.
That's not a shrimp word.
That's not. That doesn't exist.
Well, I don't know. They fried it all up and made it delicious.
Beef Erickson, how often are you by yourself and you go for two meals alone?
I think that's why it was my happiest meal of the month, because that was, I mean, when do you get to do that? That's like the best fun ever.
Most people don't.
Well, because I've recently given up, and I've realized that I just don't give a shit anymore. So I'm just going to let myself become fat and gross, and I'm going to go to two lunches by myself, because
that
I don't care.
Long time ago.
No, it's recent. It's a recent thing.
Hey, but nobody's called in on your phone. What about your wife?
It's
she should call in.
Heather, give us a call.
Make it into like a song or something.
Yeah, let's play a song
you know
for someone. Is anyone out there upset about food or anything else? You don't have to. You could talk about food if you want.
If your tummy hurts, call in. We can talk about that.
Guys, most people are going to be listening to iTunes. Us saying call in is kind of
but a few people are listening to it live.
I think that's true.
And those people could call in, and then the people on iTunes could hear that live discussion. It might be interesting because.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with Jonathan. I feel like people
Thank
listening
you.
To it on iTunes.
How many other culinaries agree with me on that one?
Hands up.
Raise your hand. Wait, Shane, you didn't vote? Oh, I pressured him in.
Let the record show no hands went up.
If you
all
want a nice, neat, clean podcast, this is not
but
your
Franklin,
show.
Franklin, you didn't raise your hand either, but you said
No, I was on board from the beginning.
All right, so it was...
Yeah. Oh, I just got a message. I got a text from my dad.
Your dad?
Yeah.
At least a... Right,
my father, yeah. He said, where is the peach tree? It's not related to culinaries at all, but that's the message.
Where's
I just
the peach tree?
Yeah.
Well,
that means he's not listening to the show.
Okay.
I thought your dad was listening to the show and texting in.
Guys, we have a call.
We have a call on your phone.
We have a caller calling in.
But on your phone.
Yeah,
we didn't put your number out. Is that your wife?
This is Culinary's Radio. You are on the air. Most people say long-time fan when they call. It's kind of first thing.
Wait, who is this? I couldn't hear it at all. Can you put that on speaker?
It's on speaker.
This is what we got.
Heather. Oh, Heather, my wife. This is my wife, Heather.
That doesn't count, but thanks for calling. Oh, man, talk about supportive husband.
This line has to be free for chicks. I'm sorry.
No, but this is not, that's his phone. It's not our hotline phone.
Heather, I think I left shoes and I left them out on the porch. Just bring them inside if you don't mind when you get a chance.
Heather, how's it going, though? We doing all right?
You're doing great. I must say, I'm a big lover of puns.
Oh, she likes the puns. I heard that.
You've really been nailing it tonight with the puns. I'm loving it.
Heather, I wanted to talk about we were talking about vegan food earlier and
I want to talk about the burger.
Tell them about the burgers.
So I got as someone in a year, I have been hearing about these burgers called Beyond Burger. This is a taste like real burgers
Beyond
in
Burger.
Whole Foods. And they were sampling them and I took a taste and it freaked me out because if I had not known that it was vegan, I would have thought, oh, totally had the meaty, smoky flavor. Anyway, brought them home. Franklin and I cooked them. I thought about trying to trick him, but we just ate them together. He was blown away by how much they tasted like beef. However, the other night at a party, I was able to trick...
Heather, we've all walked away from the phone and come back. No, that's what Franklin did. Franklin walked away. No, he did. He's such a dutiful husband. He's been paying attention. I don't mean to interrupt, but we actually can't hear you, and we're in like a sweat box over here.
Heather, thank you so much for calling. All
right, Heather. The burgers were amazing.
Thanks for being a huge
fan. They tasted just like meat.
What? They tasted like you?
They tasted like meat.
Oh. I was just like, oh, shit, we should have heard that phone call. No, because
love
like,
you, Heather, bye.
Cause you
Thank
may
you.
Have, maybe you cooked those burgers.
Thanks for calling in, Heather.
Was that rude? I cut her off, Franklin?
You're fine.
It wasn't polite, but it was fine.
No, but Duncan was making faces like he was suffering on the can.
Well, you know, you want a caller, you get a caller, you get a caller, and then all of a sudden...
I know, but not on the number that we advertised.
That was a good call, but it is a little warm in here, and it was a little hard to hear.
Like we couldn't hear it at all. The only thing I heard was puns. I was like, yay, that was a vote for my team again, Enel.
Guys, I don't think we finished talking about who's bites of the month. Franklin, did you do anything this month? We talked about that. I blacked out already.
The vegan burger. I'm telling you, it was like eating meat. All right,
pass. Shane,
I got a really good one. So Father's Day, we went for dim sum down in Little Saigon at a place called Seafood Palace. Had some intestines with coagulated blood soup and a little chicken's feet. I highly recommend it if you're down in Orange County.
Sounds gross. I mean, that sounds great,
that's
dude.
Really good.
How often are you eating chicken feet these days?
Say 2-3 times a week.
I couldn't hear you. What'd you say?
2-3 times a week.
Why is that?
They're good. They're underrated. You don't ever eat them?
Chicken's feet? No. I mean, I can afford like the rest of the chicken.
Well, this is good. This is fun.
I heard Shane began talking, and then it went into areas, and I totally like. Had the noise of like a humming refrigerator in my head. I heard like blood balloon and like just totally like stopped hearing
when
it.
When Shane talks, I hear that too.
When you lead off with, I got a really good one.
It's like, he says, I had a boiled
That's what our audience wants. They just want something to put on in the background and have a
buzz. It is a little hot here in the K-Chung studio, so let's just keep it right on track. I'm going to pull us back in. Jonathan, we've eaten a lot.
Between me and Heather's stories, if you don't like those, that's fucking action. If you don't like good, fast storytelling, then I don't
know. No, I liked it, but it created some kind of cloaking device in my own mind where it didn't penetrate. I heard blood balloon and egg yolk. I don't know. I heard something disgusting.
Thank you.
Yeah, you went really severe with some food somewhere. I don't know.
Disgusting, Shane. That reminds me of a hashtag that might have to be started.
Oh, yeah.
We're not doing politics. We're not doing politics.
Oh, we're not doing politics.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You're on brand here. Yeah. Come on.
The old Palmstrong is laying down the law, I guess. All of a sudden there are things I can't talk about. Now, as Jonathan, we've worked together.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of delicious meals from Silver Lake to Hollywood to Santa Clarita.
Claridia?
Santa
Clarita. Yeah. I haven't had that in years.
It's pronounced Santa Clarita.
I haven't had that since college.
It's easily taken care of, just a couple antibiotics. Anyway, my point was, we've had a lot of meals together. Now, let me ask you, I know, like me, you're not, I hope I'm not going to upset you, but
no.
I don't think you're a chef.
I'm not a chef. I make some eggs once in a while.
Let's say it's a Wednesday night, it's just you, you want to get out, something casual. Where are you going? Where are you going to eat?
Well,
nowadays.
Oh, gosh. There's Cougart on Hillhurst and Franklin. It's got not a great name, Cougart, C-U-G-U-R-T. It wouldn't make you think you want to go there, but they have very nice couscous dishes and grilled meats. I feel bad talking about meat so much. I don't know why. You can go there. You can go there and read. And the owner is very friendly to me. And then one time I was there, and they serve late, which is great because I sometimes don't get my act together to eat till too late. And then I'm just in a pair of shorts, and I want to read my book, so it might be like 10:30. So I can go to Cougar, get something to eat. Because a lot of times I'm like, oh, I should just go to bed. I'm like, wait, you are too hungry. So I'll run out to Cougar because I have no food in my house. Though I did find like an old tuna fish can, and I went to, town with that, poured some olive oil and pepper and stuff, and all just made it as delicious as possible. And so there's Cougar. And so one time, though, there was a guy who had escaped onto the 101, was leading some epic car chase. And, like, me and the owner who works the grill and his delivery guy, we just watched this car chase on the 101. It was pretty fascinating. I don't know why. But we all bonded, the three of us. And then today or yesterday, I went and shopped at Gelson's and got a bunch of prepared foods. So I made a little feast for myself, which my dog watched me eat last night. I had crab cake and artichoke. And olives, and then some probiotic sauerkraut. I know it's a weird meal. And then I popcorn, and then I watched the Pacquiao fight, which was outrageous. I mean, Pacquiao did win. The guy showed a lot of heart. Anyways, this hometown, I don't know if anyone's been talking about this fight, but anyway, Manny Pacquiao deserves better. But that's the world of boxing. So that was my meal last night. So Gelson's and Cougart are my go-to, though not Gelson's not lately.
Gelson's
Sorry.
And Cougart. I think we're getting a. Was that a wrapping up? Oh, okay. That was just a thumbs up that the show is. We're killing it. All right. So Jonathan Ames, super fans, you know where you need to go if you want to run into Jonathan wearing shorts.
Cougart
on night.
And maybe Gelson's. I went there. I went there last night.
Have you been to the bar at Gelson's?
I went to the bar when it first opened. I thought it was kind of fun, but I don't really like to drink that much. So, it's kind of fun to sit there.
Who are you and what did you do with Jonathan Ames?
Who are you and what did you do with Jonathan Ames?
Two-part question, Jonathan.
To me? Who are you?
I was making a drinking joke. I hear that you can give your grocery list for $10, or maybe it's $2, and they'll do all the shopping while you sit and drink at the bar.
At Gelson's?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, but that means the list. I like to roll around my cart and be like, oh, look at those blueberries, or oh, look at that dog toy. You know what I mean? Just
I'll
enjoy
just
the splendor of shopping and surprise yourself with, oh, I need coffee.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a dumb plan on Gelson's part, because the joy of shopping is just that you see, like, there are 50 different kinds of cereal or whatever, and you're just like, we live in this land of ridiculous plenty.
Until you go to Jonathan's house and you have dinner and it's just dog toys and blueberries, and you're like,
and herring.
A can of tuna, let's go to town.
Yeah.
Olive oil in there.
Yeah, well, olive oil's good. It'll help keep dementia away, and dementia backwards is 8-NEMED.
Yeah. So I love how all four of the
IYF.
I love how all four of the Camilleros have immediately just started roasting Jonathan. How like he's just so like welcomed into the group that I feel like we're all kind of like some razzing going on, some little jibbing, right?
I haven't noticed during the sale, but no, but I've dished it out. I've forked a few over. No, I don't know. I'm trying to pun with food, with the razzing.
That's why we're here.
Right.
That's the whole point of the whole show, is the puns, the food, the that's what I'm saying. You've
it's
got
a raspberry sundae.
You're home. Welcome home.
Oh, now, well, before you were Jonathan Livingston Seafood, don't you have another food-related nickname, your boxing name? What is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's partly why I had these guys go for Russian food. I was once known as the Herring Wonder because I had two amateur boxing matches against other artists. Both of them real bruisers, though, so these were real fights. And the first one was in 1999, and I got challenged. At the time, I was living on the Lower East Side in the East Village, and would buy herring from this well-known herring place called Russ and Daughters. And for some reason, when this guy challenged me out of the blue, he challenged me on the phone. He sent a filmmaker to film me accepting the challenge. I thought he was going to tell me a dirty joke and wanted it on camera. Because this was in the era of landlines. He said, be home, 12 o'clock Tuesday, I'm going to call you. And send Richard Sandler, a good friend of mine, who came to be a good friend, who was a filmmaker, to film you answering the phone. I thought, he's going to tell me a dirty joke and wants to see my reaction. I had no idea what was coming. Anyway, he challenged me to a fight. The guy had been known in the 80s as the Impact Attic on MTV because he had jumped off a church dressed as Maria von Trapp. He got shot out of a cannon into a thing of watermelons, which is food related. Anyway, this guy challenged me to a fight. And I took it on, and I said, fine, I'll fight you. I'll be the Herring Wonder. And because I had this notion that I had, without even knowing about superfoods at the time, I had a feeling that the herring, which has a lot of essential stuff, would make me strong. And then my joke was it would give me herring breath in the ring to further repel my opponent. So ever since, I've been the Herring Wonder.
I love the Herring Wonder.
So.
And we have something else.
Outrageous.
We could have almost doubled that as your Collineer's name.
Oh, I didn't think of that. But I did like Jonathan Livingston Seafood.
It's very good.
Isn't now there a song about Jonathan Livingston Seagull?
Yeah, who sings that?
I wish I could hear it right now. Or that sad song by Harry Chapin about the taxi, you know, San Francisco. You know that taxi song where he's driving a taxi and a woman gets in the back seat and she recognizes him and they realize they were lovers like 20 years before. I don't know. I try to sing it at a karaoke thing. I just love these really sad songs.
I remember you.
Are you looking it up, Franklin? It's Harry Chapin. It's like, I think it's Taxi Ride.
I'm on Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Oh.
There's a Neil Diamond album. And I'm not seeing
the
song.
You put that song in, but I think you might have skadoodled.
No. Oh, did I put that song on? I love a good sad song. I recently have discovered the joys of karaoke. I was in Vancouver. Canada, I was going to say Washington, but no, Vancouver, Canada, and ended up at a karaoke bar. Seemed like a very hostile environment, mostly young, rough, I was going to say rough, college kids. Anyway, and they were doing probably rap songs, I don't know what kind of songs, and I went up there and I decided to do the one song I know quite well, Piano Man by Billy Joel, and I won over the whole bar. Everyone was singing. Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song tonight. We're all in the mood for a melody. Oh, shit. And you got us feeling all right. 1,000. La da da. 1,500. La da. And what the hell is a real estate novelist? Paul was a real estate novelist. What does that mean? I don't know. But it was sad and it's sweet and I knew it complete when I wore a younger man's clothes. All right, that's enough of that. I wish you could pull up that Harry Chapin song so people could cry.
Yeah, pull that up.
I think it's called Taxi Driver or Taxi Ride, Harry Chapin.
Real estate novelist reminds me of my dad, who's a realtor. When I heard he was writing a book, it was a book that took place in the future about China taking over America.
Your dad wrote that?
Well,
like
a few pages.
It could be a bestseller now.
Is his name Tom Clancy?
A few pages. Your dad wrote three pages, quit, smacked you,
quit,
watch TV. I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Birmingham, I'm out of control. I don't know why. Oh, God, I wish.
What is it?
What's the title?
Taxi.
Taxi. All right, you don't have to play because our audio system's not great here. But people, listen to Taxi. It's just called Taxi by Harry Chapin. It's a good cry.
Speaking of songs, what do you guys think of our intro-outro song, Hot Dog on the Grill?
It's grown on me.
Shane?
I kind of hate it.
Franklin?
I love it. I think it's perfect.
I know you love it because it's, like, super dark. It's about how there is no God and you should, like, kill yourself. It's so, like, nihilistic.
I was taking it at face value.
And it's called
Hot
Dogs on the Grill, and it's nihilistic and apocalyptic.
I thought it was
about a hot dog sitting on a grill.
It's about human beings on a grill, probably.
Well, I mean,
metaphorically.
Isn't everything?
Lane is suggesting there's some kind of metaphor.
No, he says, like, and there is no God. That's, like, one of the lyrics of the song. Listen to it.
Oh, well, God is dog backwards, so maybe he means there's no hot. Maybe he talks backwards like I do.
Holy shit. We're tying it all together.
Shane, what's your problem with it?
To be honest with you, it doesn't hit me. It doesn't feel like a good song to jump into.
It's soft. All right. It is soft. Well, you know, talking about karaoke, I went to Max's downtown the other day, and I didn't know the people that well, and I thought I had told the host that Moving Out was my song, and then I came in, put it in, and then everybody told me the host had just done the song.
What do you mean it's your song?
Well, that I told him, he said, what's your song? And I was like, my signature song. So I felt like I was kind of a little karaoke cock blocked. Anyway, it's
he
just been on my mind.
What is your song?
And
what's
I felt like I never
kind
of got traction with the evening.
You said that a previous time, and so when you showed up and he was using it, you still felt like you had ownership?
Well, I think.
How many weeks had passed?
No, I think it just been the night before. He said, do you want to come to karaoke? He's like, what do you like to sing?
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh,
maybe
he probably forgot, Duncan.
Okay, am I too easily insulted?
Well, maybe the thing is
game?
He might have forgotten where he heard it from, and then it came to him, like, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he jolted out of bed and said, what is the song? Eggs Over Easy? What was it called?
Moving Out.
Am I too easily insulted? What do you think?
I guess the bummer part of it was he was better. His Moving Out was better. Anyway, I'm going to get
out by
you.
Who?
Don't own that song.
By Billy Joel.
Oh, I didn't know.
You can never argue with a crazy man. Well,
the bar is low.
The song you sang to Lance's girlfriend the day after she was moving out of his apartment.
Wait, sing more of it.
You ought to know by now who needs a house out in Hackensack. All right, I'm getting us off.
What?
Tramp.
No,
we're going to start winding up right now. This is wind up.
Well, that's why I brought up the outro music.
Isn't it wind down?
Oh, it is wind down. But you know what? I meant up because I wanted to ask Jonathan. We're going to wind down, but why don't you tell us what your morning ritual is? Because it sounds like you've got an interesting breakfast ritual that I think the listeners
breakfast?
Might be interested to. Yeah.
Well, I told you my work breakfast thing, which was, well, when I was working hard, and which is now not the case. So I don't have a ritual, but I used to have to get up 5:45 in the morning. So I was trying to recreate the the diet of a bear, because a bear is strong, right, and one of the powerful creatures around, and we're probably closely related to the bear. They run around on two legs, and they're hairy. Anyway, so I would eat blueberries, a big handful of blueberries over my sink, and then I would take a shower. And then I'd come back out, and I would boil some water and make some coffee, like over a cup or something.
Like bears do.
Like bears do, yeah, cowboy coffee. And then, not exactly, and then I would eat herring. So first I was like a bear eating some berries by the side of the river or the ocean, where the ocean might meet some land where a bear could get to, a delta maybe. exactly. Anyway, so I'd eat some berries, and then I'd scoop my paw into the water and get some good, you know, omega-3 fish called herring, shove that in my mouth, and then I'd go to work. So two superfoods.
Wow. And then it was time to sit down to write.
No, then I would get in my car and drive 45 minutes to Santa Clemidia, where Nack Newt and I worked. This was a breakfast ritual before going to, like, hard labor. If I was writing, I'd probably go somewhere and get eggs, mm-hmm. and then come back, take a nap, procrastinate, and then sit down to write.
Well, we have to wrap it up, everybody. Jonathan,
sorry.
I know you're working on some things that might be secret, so I don't want to put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about what you're working on, or would you rather just kick that down the line and not say?
It's not that I don't want to say, but, you know, we're on food, and you said we should wind down, and I thought talking about the, you know, digging my hand into the stream and catching the herring. I thought that would be a good ending. So,
no,
Duncan, I don't mean to give you shit. I did give you shit about not tipping the guy since he said he drove to your place on Instagram Drive.
His friend's right there. Why didn't he just leave the? He could have thrown it on the.
No, but he Duncan. But you look here. Let me just again do my Rashomon.
He was
the
so
guy. He was like, oh, my God, like, and for his version of being emotive, he was like, happy to see you, a mystery solved, he could complete this thing, he said, I feel bad about it, it's my fault, I mean, he was really going on about that, and he, like, soon he saw Duncan, it was almost like a guy who was wanted for murder, and he had the poster from the post office.
But I do have to say, he looked a little guilty, and he actually did not take the license out. He opened the drawer, looked at me, looked at the license, and then I don't know if he was about to close it or what, and I was like, is that my license?
I mean, for all we know, also, this guy could be like, I mean, I wasn't there anything, but this guy could be like a piece of shit. Like, he could, like, molest his cousin or something. Like, who knows? Like,
well, but Duncan, this all boils down to you're mad at him because you left your license there, and he didn't run fast enough out of the bar to catch up with you to give it to
he would
well,
not
because it was
run.
Probably a busy night. Duncan was in
we
a blackout anyway.
We were the only people there, and he was very rude, and then he gave me the credit card back, and we sauntered very slowly out of the bar. But this is all to be discussed.
I'm Duncan Does Cinema. Let's pick it back up.
Yeah, we'll all be back for that, and we'll just talk about that.
Thanks for coming.
What a treat. Thanks, Jonathan, for coming. I'm sorry it's so hot here.
It's good to say that a guest was a treat on a food show.
Hey-o! Franklin, you got that outro?
Do the herring chapin' song.
I would have been ready.
You say the herring chapin' song?
Oh, nice. That chafed me a little, though.
We had mackerel today, right?
Oh, God.